Oh, just making sure, because sometimes you don't know. You gotta say amen, and that's okay. I know, right? So, okay, tonight we're gonna go ahead and continue. Now, last week we were talking about how we're better together, because you know, if you're in this room, then you needed to know that life was not meant to be lived alone. And I'm not just talking about like you finding like some fine fresh young lady to spend your time with. I'm talking about like relationships, like people. We talked about a little bit last week. Kind of opened it up and we just kind of mentioned like 70% of your paycheck one day when you get a job, a nice wonderful job, when you go to college for 4 to 30 years to get that job, 70% of all the money you make will be based on how well you interact with people. That's true. I mean, whether or not you get raises, how well you do, whether you get to keep that job, it all depends on how well you get to interact with all those crazy people around you, because, you know, people are just, I don't know if you've ever felt this way, but it just, sometimes you just think, man, I just wish I could just jump in a rocket ship and just be alone for a couple of decades and just kind of, I don't know, some people, like, you guys like people. Me, I just don't want to be around people sometimes, which is funny because I'm a pastor, but I do like you guys, so don't take that to offense. Never mind, let me get out of this hole I'm digging, and let's just preach. You know, but the bottom line is this, is that, look, man, you got to get along with the people around you, whether that's your mom, whether it's your dad, whether that's your little brother, your little sister, whether that's a dog you live with, or maybe it's a teacher, a parole officer, maybe it's the neighbor down the street, or the person that lives in the apartment room underneath you, and they just hit their roof with the ceiling with a broomstick because you just jump around too much. I mean, you've got to learn how to interact with people, because ultimately, we're better together, right? I mean, peanut butter needs jelly, right? Macaroni needs cheese, okay? I mean, you know, we're better together as a people. That's why God made the church. The Bible tells us that God takes the lonely and puts them in family, right? Like, that's God's heart, is to turn the hearts of the children to the Father. I mean, I can talk about Bible verses all day, but God's desire is to get you around people that want to lift you up. And you're one of the people that God wants to lift other people up. See, God's got a plan for you. And maybe you thought you were an accident. Maybe you're just here because mom made you come. Maybe you're here because, you know, somebody tricked you into coming to church. I don't know what the deal is, but the goal is this, is that you're here for a purpose. And that one of those purposes is to pour your life out into somebody else's life out. Now, we kind of talked last week about the two things people can do, and that's you can either build bridges, which means that you can learn how to get closer to people, or you can dig ditches, and that's putting up walls and things in between you and people. I mean, look, some of us in this place, you haven't talked to like your mom in a day or two because you're so mad at her. Or maybe there's that one teacher you've heard stories about them. You know, you're going into school after summer and you're like thinking, I hope I get, you know, you're just waiting to see what that little paper says, who you've got, and you're thinking, I don't want, look, you don't want to dig a barrier in between you and other people that God's called you to do life with, especially if it's family, especially if it's your church family here. God's called you to be a bridge builder in your life, to make ways where there was no ways. You see, I don't know if you pay attention to the news or anything, but the world is kind of crazy lately. I'm not going to say any names, although the names kind of rhyme with frump, and the name of a person kind of rhymes with billery. But people are kind of crazy out there between this frump and billery. And they're punching people in the bro-face over these things. I mean, look, I mean, people have no difficult time finding reasons to hate each other. Whether it's the color of their skin, whether it's how much money they do or don't make, whether it's a matter of whether or not these lives matter more than these lives. The problem is this, is that we have lost this idea that God wants us to bring us together to celebrate what's different about each other. I'm not saying you can't be excited about maybe where you come from or what your ethnicity is. I'm not saying you can't be excited about whether you like UCLA or whatever at other colleges. Never mind. Thank you. Never mind. Okay. But what I am saying is that we can celebrate the differences, but still find a way to get along with each other. A wise street prophet once asked the question, can't we all get along? I think we can. Can we truly? I don't know. It's somewhere deep down on the inside of my heart. I believe we can. 1 Corinthians. Remember I told you to go there? 1 Corinthians 1. We talked about last week is Paul. Okay, the Holy Spirit's talking to Paul, right? Like God's talking to and through Paul. And he's talking about all these reasons people don't like each other. Like these people, they don't like each other because they like the way this one dude preaches. And these other people don't like these people because of the way this other guy preaches. And they're finding all these dumb reasons not to like each other. And that's what we were talking about last week, like how we can still be different and be cool with each other. How we can still look, we need to look beyond those, the things that don't really matter, and begin to really just find out the parts of each of us that bring us together. Because if you're in this place, no matter whether you're sitting on the left side or the right side, the front or the back, chances are you came into this place because we all have one reason, and that's to worship Jesus, right? We all came here from all different parts of town, from whether you're Moreno Valley, whether you're from up in the mountains, whether you're from Yucaipa or Redlands or San Bernardino or Northside, whether you're from I don't know, Grand Terrace or Colton, where my Fontana people at, maybe you, I don't know where exactly what city you came from. But we all came from these different places to one place so we could do one thing, and that's worship Jesus. We can get together, and we can lift up the name of the one who lived, died, and rose again for us. Right? That's why we came. Okay, just trying to make sure we're all here for the same reason. And see, that's what makes us, that's what builds the bridge between each and every one of us. It doesn't matter how big or little your house is, even if whether you got one or not. But what matters is the fact that there's something that binds us all together. It makes us family, brothers from different mothers, but with the same Father. That's God. So we're here today to find that peace that makes us better together. See, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1:10, if you guys got it there, go put it there. Paul's writing this letter, and he's, like, writing all these things. He says, the temptations are a lot. No. 1 Corinthians 1:13. I'll turn there. Oh, here I am. Wonderful. This is about as his, I appeal to you, I beg, I'm calling each of you out, guys, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree. I want you all to agree that there would be no divisions within each of you, that you wouldn't be split or cracked apart. He says here, he says that you would be united in the same mind. You'd have the same judgment. He says, look, I'm hearing reports. Somebody's been snitching on you guys from Chloe's house that there's quarreling, there's fighting among you, brothers. So what I mean is each of you guys are fighting, saying, I like Paul, I like Apollos, I like Peter. And then other people are saying, well, I like Christ. Is Jesus divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were we not baptized in the name of Paul? No, that's ridiculous. We weren't. He goes on and he says this. He says, look, Jesus didn't send me to baptize and preach the gospel, but to preach the gospel. Not with words of eloquent wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied with power. You see, what these verses are saying is this, is that you and I, we can be different but still have the same heart, right? Like we can be different. Like you can be you, boo boo, but still have the same heart. See, we don't have to look. Being a Christian, being together, doing this doesn't mean that we all like the same thing, part your hair the same way. That we all have to have some type of dress code that makes us look. You can be you in all of your wonderful you-ness. Like you don't got to be any less you than God made you to be. But the important thing is that we have the same heart. Different outside, different thoughts, maybe different preferences. Maybe you're more of a pico de gallo guy, not so much of a hot and spicy kind of guy. You like your food a certain way, I like my food a different way, and that's okay. We can celebrate that as long as we can all find within us to have the same heart that binds us together. You see, that's what Paul is saying in this place. Is that we need to have the same mind, the same heart set, the same goal. See, it's all different parts that all fit together to make one picture. See, the goal is this, is for us to live a life that looks like Jesus. So we're all trying to get to the same place, no matter where you start. I mean, if you started in a family that's been going to church ever since you were a baby, and then you got the person sitting next to you or two rows behind you, and they grew up, and maybe they grew up in a different part of the country, maybe they grew up with a really terrible, really difficult life experience. It doesn't matter what makes you guys, where you guys started. What only matters is where you guys are going. I love the picture of heaven because the Bible, whenever the Bible describes heaven, it talks about every nation, every tribe, every tongue. It says people from every walk of life, from every part of time, all coming together to have one of the fattest parties creation has ever seen. I mean, that's exactly what the picture of heaven is. You see, it doesn't matter where we started off from. It only matters where we're all going. And if we could recognize that, then all of a sudden, when you see somebody that's come to church for the very first time, and they look a little timid, look a little out of place, look a little uncomfortable, like their parents are basically kicking them into the door, bam, get in there. Don't come out till you're done. Maybe they look very different to you, maybe a little older, a little younger, wearing clothes a little bit different than you wear. But if you know that we're all going to the same place, all of a sudden something on the inside of you says, you know what, if that person feels out of place, they shouldn't because they're with family. I'm going to go ahead and talk to them. I'm going to see how they're doing. I'm going to go ahead and see if they want me to get them a smoothie. Not a smoothie, a smoothie. That's better than a smoothie. That's how Shelby do. See, all of a sudden you begin to see these things. Same thing applies to you at school. Same thing applies with you at the grocery store. Same thing applies when you're at the movies. Same thing applies when you're walking down the street and you see somebody that just looks dead on the inside. I don't know if you've ever walked by people and you just walk next to them and they just feel depressed. Right? They're so sad you could feel it on you. That's where we come in. Because they may be different, but God desires they have the same destination as you. You see, he's talking about there being a group of people that have the same idea, the same goal in mind. Different places going to the same place. See, we're all different. I love what it says in 1 Corinthians 3. Just a couple chapters later, I'm not going to go there and make you guys read it, but you could read it for yourself. But in 1 Corinthians 3:18, the Bible talks about us being made as a building, right? It says we're all together being put together as a building. Like you're like each... Like pick a Lego, any Lego. It could be the red one if you want, or that one weird one with the slant on it that has a two holes on the top. That's kind of like, really, what is that one even for? So, but then maybe that's you because you're kind of, you know, crazy. But each individual piece put together makes, I don't know, something nice, something neat, something beautiful, and that's where we all fit in. The Bible says that each of us together, we're all one part together to make a building, a place. A house for God. So when we together come with all of our differences, we make a place that God wants to stay. That's why we do church, because God loves when people get together to talk about him. God loves to get together with people that are thinking about him, right? And when we do this, whether it's in the game room, whether it's out on the courtyard, whether it's out here when we're preaching, whether it's up here when we're worshiping, whether it's when you guys are talking in the parking lot, God loves to be in the middle of that. Because it's different people talking about one thing, celebrating and thanking one person, Jesus Christ, because we've got the same goal. Unity doesn't mean that we all have to be the same. It just means we're going to the same place. You see, we could be different and still have the same heart. That's Paul's idea. He's like, stop focusing on things that are going to separate us. And the whole deal is this, is that if each of us together make one house, well, then if we're divided, you guys know what Abraham Lincoln said. No, wait, it's in the Bible. Wait, he quoted the Bible. He said a house divided can't stand, right? I know, right? And a fresh beard. I mean, you got to trust a guy like that, wear a hat like that, have a beard like that. Man, psh, what's the story we're talking about? Abraham Lincoln said a house divided can't stand because the Bible says it. And it's true. So, if we come into this place and we're judging each other, we're thinking, oh, look, I can't believe they're up there because I know what they did. I saw their Snapchat. I know what they were talking about. I know who they're, and you guys know the scoop on each other because I'm sure you guys know much more than I do. Then all of a sudden we start to divide each other. Then all of a sudden you have this house that's crumbling. You don't have a structure. You have a big old just pile of Lego blocks waiting to be put together. And all of a sudden, God can't come in the middle of that. You see, division, it steals. It robs the power of the cross. And I don't know if you ever thought about that. It's kind of crazy to think that we could do something that could stop God's power. Like, because you figure he's God, right? Like, God wants something, he just speaks, and bam, it's poof there. Like planets and stuff. But God has allowed us this ability. God has allowed this to God has allowed us this ability to say no to him, which is kind of weird to think. And when we come into a place and we cause division or strife, we start judging each other. We start thinking, oh, they think they're much better than me, or look at them, they think that they're all this or that, or you would not believe what I heard or what I read or what was posted or the picture I saw about this person. All of a sudden, we come in this place and we begin to get torn and ripped apart. The enemy comes in and begins to divide and conquer, and all of a sudden, we've robbed the power of the cross from our lives. You ever wonder why lives get jacked up? You ever wonder why you think, oh, you know what, man, I tried that Christian thing and it just doesn't work? You ever wonder why you think, you ever wonder sometimes why you feel, God's just not talking to me anymore. I don't know if he's real. I don't feel him anymore. And I'm wearing goosebumps. You ever wonder that? Sometimes a reason sometimes could possibly become because it could be because that we've allowed division in our heart. And now there's no place for God to come and rest because people are at each other's throats. I mean, think about your family. Right? Think about your family. And if you're arguing with your folks, or you and your brother are always punching each other in the face, if there's challenges going even between a husband and a wife, there's no peace there, right? It's difficult. It's ugly. It's hard to be at home when stuff like that happens. You just want to lock yourself in your room, which is even more division. It's another wall in between you and your family. And how can God work in that if no one's trying to bring it together? You see, when we get to the place where we can start to forgive, or we can start to talk the same language, different, mom, son, sister, dad, when we begin to, in our differences, begin to kind of, you know, work things out, then the power of God's able to come and rest. You know, in verse 17 it says, by doing things our way, we empty the power of the cross. See, Paul said, I just can't come and just start talking about myself or talking about some junk that I think I know. He says, no. I can't come and do it my way because that would empty the power of the cross. And I don't know about you, but I need God's power in my life more than ever before. I don't know about you, but me in this place with you guys, with my family, with my kids, with my brother, with my mom, with my dad, in my relationship with my dad and my mom, I need to make sure that I'm doing everything I can to make sure God's power is working in that. Because I'm a punk sometimes. And I need God working in me and through me. And that only happens when I'm able to work unity, when I'm able to forgive. When I get all bitter and salty, I can let it go. Look, we've got to learn how to be people that build these bridges with others where we can begin to see eye to eye. There's this crazy verse in Matthew 5. I want to read it to you. Matthew 5:23 says, look, if you're going to come present a sacrifice, you're going to come and worship at the altar of the temple, and you suddenly remember that somebody has something against you, it says, leave your sacrifice, hold on, wait a minute, turn around, go and be reconciled, make up with that person. Then come and offer your sacrifice to God. What would it be like if we didn't let you into church until we said, hey, you need to make up with somebody? I saw you argue with this person last week. You can't come in until you work it out. It would be kind of, I don't know, I'm going to be talking to myself. And the Bible says this is how important it is. Why? Because you come into church and all of a sudden God's power is stopped in your life. Why? Because you got issues with people. That's how important it is. See, maybe that's why God's so silent, is because our anger and our frustration with people is so loud. Maybe that's why your prayers aren't getting answered, is because, well, maybe you're holding something against somebody that you need to work it out. Because division, it steals the power of what Jesus did for us. He says, before you do anything for me, make sure you get things right with the people around you. I guess it's kind of like, let me get up here real quick. Get you in your people. I guess what happens is this, is here we are, and we're all different. We like different things. And we want to do things different ways. But the problem is this, is that in all of our differences, if we don't learn how to work together, what happens is everybody goes in a different, everybody does their own thing. And maybe you're frustrated because maybe your mom or your dad or whomever is not doing things the way they think you ought to. Well, the problem is, if everybody wants to do their own thing, then nobody meets up. And we're stuck and we're alone. And the way we live life becomes ugly because people don't want to be around us because, well, we just don't want to play nice. It would be kind of like if the band came up here and they all had their favorite song, which because they all have wonderful taste in music, and they all wanted to play their own thing. They all want to play their own favorite song at one time. Go play me something. Play me something here. You don't know. Look at, he's trying to hide now. Joel, please tell me you were playing something. What were you playing?
Thank you. That is why I love you.
What were you playing? What song were you playing? You were playing something, fool.
I was playing Rudiments.
Thank you. Okay. Now, let's say we all play one specific song. What are we gonna play? No, but tell me what you're gonna play.
Endless Praise.
Who? Endless Praise? Oh, I like that song. Okay, give it to me. Much better. I mean, I appreciate the first one. No, I don't appreciate it. It was terrible. Did you like it? Really, you liked it? Then give me the first one again. Give it two more times. Song. Liar. Who else is a liar in here? No, if we did that next week, you would not come up front. Look at that. We play normally, and half of y'all don't come up front. Burn! Oh! I'm just kidding. It's better up front anyway. Trust me. Oh, okay. Stop it. Bad youth pastor. Get off the stage before I get myself in trouble anymore. Oh, I'm sorry. I'll get saved afterwards. Thank you in the back, Adam, for clapping. Let's give it for the band. Give it the band. Oh, I'm fully aware that you can worship God in the back row as well as you can worship God in the front row. Don't worry. I'm not judging anybody because I've known many people that I love and I know love Jesus dearly. They worship in the back row, and I'm okay with that. Prefer you in the front, but I understand that. Everybody's got their comfort zone. Whatever! Because it doesn't matter. We all worship differently as long as we have the same heart. Redeemed that one. Brought it in. Okay, whatever. Now, the idea is this. Is everybody can play whatever they want, and though some people may like that, that's because they're tone deaf and can't tell. Looking at some people up here. But the truth of the matter is it sounds terrible. That's cool, for a little bit. I mean, even like Slayer, they're playing together, right? Come on. I mean, Now, I understand that may not be somebody's flavor in here, but I'm not promoting Slayer, but they work together to make something sound a specific way. This was just an ugly train wreck mess. You can't stop looking at it. It's that terrible. But when a song has been written and the chords and the time has been put together and everybody, I mean, the bass does not play like the drums necessarily, you know, the same rhythm. But whereas the way that the keyboard is plays differently than maybe the guitar, everybody plays their own in individual piece together in a way that makes a song that sounds, well, listenable. Is that a word? It is now. Because every part working together plays their piece, and that makes a song. Together, look, when your family works together, and instead of you choosing to be angry or bitter or unforgiving to a family member, and you work together with your brothers or sisters, with your mother, when everybody's doing their chores and you're all respecting each other and you guys are honoring each other, and you guys are grateful for each other. Mother's grateful for the kids. Kids are grateful for this person, that person. Look, then family works the way it's supposed to. It's beautiful, and God works his power in it. Because they're all doing their own part, and it works together. Same thing happens within church. When we're praying for each other, when we're there for each other, when we honor each other, when we welcome each other, when we create an atmosphere that's family together, then all of a sudden what happens is it works together for God's power. That's what happens when we work together like a building. Everybody's leaning on each other, and God comes down, and he rests with us, and he changes our lives. Now, the question is this, is where do you really need God's power in your life? Where is it missing? Because unity, when we work together, it's a setup. It's a setup for God's power in your life. So where do you need God's power? I mean, think about it. Where do you need God's power in your life? Because if you're missing it, maybe it's because you need to work some unity out. Maybe it's because you need to ask or give forgiveness. Maybe it's because you need to leave whatever gift you want to give God, whatever dream you got for God, you got to put it down so you can go make something right with somebody. Maybe you're having a hard time with some of your grades at schools because you can't get along with your teachers. Because, look, I know they're punks, but what have you been doing lately to try to get along with them? I'm just saying that maybe there's a conversation, a prayer that needs to happen for you and those people. Where are you weakest in your life? Because, look, maybe you feel like you don't have any friends. You don't have a lot of friends. Well, maybe it's because the friends you did have, you're still hanging on to the things they did wrong to you. And until you get over those things, you won't find new friends because you've robbed God's power from your life in that area. Matthew 18, last verse, shut it down, says, I'm going to tell you this. Jesus, out of his own mouth, red letters, says, look, listen to me because I'm going to tell you this. If two of you agree on earth about anything, then my Father in heaven will do it for you. Because where there's two or three together, as my followers, different people, same direction, I'm there among them. See, when people come together in unity, when they come together to get along, when they come together, maybe they're from different places, they have different life stories. When they're not competing, they're not jealous. They're not trying to get each other's boyfriend. When they're working together, and they say, oh, you have a need? I have extra. I'll give you some of that. Then all of a sudden, what happens? You have unity. And Jesus says, well, if you're doing that together, then I'm right there in the middle of that. I'm going to be all up in that. My power is coming with me. So where is it weak in your life? Because maybe you need to work some unity in there. Maybe you need to see eye to eye with somebody. See, you could be different and still have the same heart with somebody. You don't have to give you up. You just have to give up your direction. You have to give up your goal and make it Jesus' goal. And when you do that, there'll be unity. God will bring you together. Because division, man, if you're divisive, if you're getting on people's nerves, if people are getting on your nerves too much, then you're robbing God's power from your life. Because unity is a setup for God to do something great in your life. You just got to give up your preferences at times and give it up for God's preferences. I mean, look, you can either build bridges or you can dig a ditch in between you and the people God wants to get you close to. What are you going to do? Because we're better together. Y'all got something from God. Let's give him a praise.